Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden on The Truth Straight Up on a Wednesday, brought to you by...
By AmericaCitizenPress.com, great conservative website, and also Dr. Julie McCallan in Denver Synergetics, where you had your great appointment yesterday.
Yes.
Things went very well. We're happy to report that Chuck will be able to live until at least his next appointment. Another week or two. So lot to talk about today. At 3:30, we're going to have Mike Gonzalez. He is an author, political commentator, has a new book out called BLM, The Making of a New Marxist Revolution. I read a funny thing that said BLM now stands for Buy Lots of Mansions.
Which is where they spend their money.
But we're really pleased to have with us somebody who's become one of my favorite persons to read, Ash in America. Ash, so thank you for your time and welcome to the show. We're so pleased to have you.
And let me give a little bit of an introduction. Ash has become the newest columnist for the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle, which is very exciting for us. The reason I decided to hire Ash at a munificent rate
is just...
Well, it was the fact that, you know, I was a delegate, so was Julie, down at the Republican convention at the World Arena, Broadmoor's World Arena. And it was a joyous occasion. People had a great time. Grassroots people were elected, and they cheered for the people they liked. They booed the people, or at least hissed the people they didn't. But grassroots people won for all the major positions. I did not read a single newspaper, a single column, a single terrestrial radio show that did nothing but mock and belittle all the people there. Because they made the wrong decision. And it's just pathetic. It's pathetic. So screw that.
I own a newspaper.
I mean, let's tell the people the truth for a change. It may be just one outlet among hundreds that are against us, including all the radio, George Brockler and Jimmy Singenberger and Stephen Tubbs and, oh God, everybody on KOA, everyone on KHOW. It's about time that we actually got the word out, because as the assembly proved, that's where the Republican base is. That's where the Republican Party is. That's where all the people are elected. And yet every one of them, including Phil Anschutz, Colorado Politics, and Denver Gazette, he had his editor-in-chief mocking and leering at Ron Hanks and everyone else. So I think it's about time when we start fighting back. And one of those weapons will be Ash in America.
There you go.
Ash, great to have you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you, and it's a pleasure to write the column. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you talk first? I want to let everybody know you can find all of her other stuff at ashinamerica.com. And all her stuff. And I highly recommend you go there. But let me just kind of jump in by, I want to talk to you about Senate Bill 153, because you testified against that, but also just to get your take on the assembly, because you've done some great columns on that as well.
Sure. So I attended the assembly. I'm not a Republican. I'm a proudly unaffiliated voter. I was a Republican up until 2011, very active in the Tea Party. I was a young mom. I had a toddler and an infant and my third boy in my belly when we marched on Washington to oppose Obamacare with Michelle Bachmann and that whole thing. And saw what happened with the Tea Party, saw the Republican establishment circle around itself. I was in Florida at the time, so different players, same game. Yeah. Said, I'm done. I've had enough of this, and really kind of checked out of politics until Trump was elected. I wasn't a huge fan of Trump. I liked Ben Carson. I kind of held my nose and voted for Trump in 2016, and then was really pleasantly surprised. I thought he was going to be a sleeper Democrat. right? I mean, right. My husband's from New York. I've lived in New York, familiar with Trump, you know, as a business and real estate mogul. And so I thought he was going to be more of a Democrat, and was pleasantly surprised. First time in my lifetime that we've seen anybody deregulate and give power back to the people. Right. And that got me excited to pay attention. And then we saw Russian collusion, right? And we saw the half of the country drag all of us through something that was pretty obviously false, I think,
right?
From the beginning. And, you know, I remember with the first impeachment hearing, looking at my husband and saying, you know, they had to know they're going to get caught, and that this is a lot, but they're putting us through this anyway. That's not okay. So then, you know, by the 2018 midterms, I was pretty solidly on Team Trump, still anti-Republican establishment because it's a uniparty. But, you know, I in 2020 walked doors. I campaigned for Ken Buck, who's my congressman out here, who's an absolute disaster. And I call him Ken Dominion is awesome and everything is great with our elections, Buck. And so, God told me not to be silent a while ago, and somebody needs to speak the truth. And the truth is that both sides are on the opposite side of the people.
Exactly. That's, and I think, really, you know, and you've done a great job of exposing that. And like Chuck said, you listen to the establishment and you look at the MAGA support around the country. And my point is, Colorado is not some weird outlier, right? That it's like everybody else, all the other Republicans in the country like Trump and identify as MAGA people. But only here in Colorado, the establishment would have us believe everybody hates Trump. It's like, no, that's not true. It's like, you all hate Trump. And it, like you said, they're part of the uniparty. And so they try to say, well, you know, that what happened at the assembly was bizarre. But it's like, no, that's where people are. People want candidates. I mean, even polls show that people realize by now that there are questions to be asked about the election. And, you know,
they don't want you asking.
No, they don't want
and
you
Ken
asking.
Ken Buck certainly doesn't want you to ask him, because he says for an election which ballot harvesting was absolutely rampant and everything else, he says the gold standard. Well, where does the guy come up with?
Well, he got elected, so I imagine for him it was. But,
well, I don't know. Maybe, yeah. And he also thinks
we don't know.
Yeah,
we don't.
Well, he thinks Liz Cheney is great. What Republican thinks Liz Cheney is great? I mean, it's an amazing thing. But what people don't quite understand, and I'm always hesitant to prove it, but it's really the grassroots versus one billionaire
in Colorado.
I mean, Phil Anschutz controls, you know, the World Arena. Who owns the World Arena where the assembly was at? Phil Anschutz. Who owns Colorado Springs Gazette? Who owns the Independence Institute indirectly, but a major funder? Complete Colorado. They had the editor in chief of the Colorado Politics and Colorado Gazette just mock and leer at every conservative person who was elected at the assembly. And so people love to say the donor class, or they, you know, there is no donor class.
Well, there really is, but there's only one person in
well,
it.
Well, there are others. There are a few others that are his friends, but that's, you're facing one person. And someday the only way you're ever going to fight back is to recognize you're fighting against one billionaire. And he doesn't like publicity. He doesn't like to be up front, but that's who you're facing. And until the Republican, and if he withdraws his money, the Republican Party has no money. But I'd rather have it no money, but actually stand for something than some money. We're only there to be the Washington Generals for the Democrats. We're there to run phony elections in which you can't possibly win because of ballot harvesting, and then go. You have the Ken Bucks and the Christy Burton Browns say this is a gold standard and wonderful. It's just sad and it's pathetic. But
well, I think that the assembly showed that it might be one billionaire, right? And I think it's one billionaire and a lot of hangers on, right?
Yes,
people who want their cut. But that's the old way of politics. And I
yes.
think the assembly showed 61% of people, of delegates at the assembly. This is 61% of people who are paying attention enough and care enough to be involved in their local party. And they the party likes to keep those seats empty. They like to keep it small and manageable. And because of things like the Precinct Project and My Colorado GOP, who really for the past 2 years have worked hard to get people in the party into those positions. 61% of people voted for Tina Peters. A vote for Tina Peters is a vote for election integrity. And the Republican Party in Colorado has tried to pretend like this isn't happening. They've been trying to pretend like election integrity. Oh, it's a fad. It's a trend.
It's a denier. Yeah, debunk. Right.
Right. Election deniers is what they call us. And they put us on numbered lists.
Right.
but we're not going away. Right. This was, it was supposed to be, April of 2021, and we were all tired and we went back to our lives, just like every other time anybody has ever cried about an election. Right. But this was different because they stole it with impunity, brazenly before our eyes. And they want us all to pretend like we're stupid. You know, you talk about SB 22-153. I did testify the other day, and we went through, had 35 people sign up to testify. A handful of them were for the bill. The majority were against the bill, both in person and remotely. And after all of that, Representative Kennedy, the chair of the committee, and Representative Valdez and others said, well, you guys are just sore losers, right? Yeah. And one of them had the gall to say, this has gone on long enough. No, sweetie, you don't get to decide that.
No,
people are in charge of our government, and you're not going to continue to lie to our faces. One of the people that was testifying with me said, who on this panel has read the Mesa reports? Nobody raised their hand right now. They
that's because it's not true. They just know God spoke to them in their sleep and told them it was all not true. So they don't have to read it. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, if you never look, you'll never see it. Right. And that's the game that they're playing.
Well, we've got an important primary coming up June 26th for the Republicans. 28th. And it's critical that at least some grassroots people get to go to the general election, or I think everybody can be like you and get away from the Republican Party.
I think people are in for a surprise. I think
I do
that
too.
We are on, for a long time. And again, I left the party in 2011. For a long time, people have been disillusioned. I was actually pulling the numbers of registration changes since 2015, and you see unaffiliated go like this, and you see Republicans and Democrats go like this. There, 44-45% of the population of Colorado is unaffiliated from either of the two main political parties. About 2% is affiliated with some other party, right? And so you've got almost 50% of the state, of the voting population, that isn't going to say I'm a D, isn't going to say that I'm an R. Now, the Republican Party wants you to believe that those people vote like Democrats. I'm one of those people.
Right.
And there's a lot of people like me who are done with the two-party system. So the Republican Party is making a strategic error by not listening to their people. And, we'll see what happens. But I think that the primaries are going to be an even greater disappointment and embarrassment for the establishment than the assembly was.
I think so, too. And let me, I want to get into the Senate. For folks who don't know and maybe listening, Senate Bill 153, essentially, it's a partisan hack power grab by Jenna Griswold, the Secretary of State, to essentially take all of the power and give her all of the power. Now, as I understand it, they took out the part that would make it an actual crime that could land you in jail for criticizing Jenna Griswold. But that's all it is. And to me, and I wanted you to talk about this too, because one of the reasons at the assembly there was such a push for paper ballots, and we won't even go into the Christy Burton Brown outright lies about that, why it couldn't happen, but it's because we said, if we want to be the party of election integrity, it starts at this most basic level. And can you talk about this? And they said, oh, no, you stupid grassroots people. But then you mentioned, or somebody had mentioned at this Senate Bill 153 hearing, they actually used that against us, right? They took, just like we said they would do, right? They took what the Republicans, what they shoved down our throats by the establishment, and they used that as saying, see, look, there's bipartisan support.
Oh, right. Sure. So at the assembly there was a call for paper ballots. There was a very long, complicated motion that was read. But by the time he actually got to paper ballots, when you hear Christy Burton Brown say, is there a second? It's like the whole arena erupts. I want paper ballots. Right.
Right.
then Christie and the parliamentarian and Chris Murray, the lawyer, who's also the general counsel for Dominion, or his law firm is the registered lobbyist, rather, for Dominion. He's the general counsel for the Republican Party in Colorado.
You can't make this up. You know,
you really can't. You really can't. It's almost comical. But they spent then the next 20 to 25 minutes confusing people, right? Reading off the rules and oh, we can't do this. We'll be here till midnight. We don't have paper ballots. We don't. They just in our headline. So at the moment that they seconded the bill, the whole place wanted paper ballots. But then they went to work systematically, you know, trying to confuse people. And by the end, by the time they voted on it a second time, people were like, let's just move on.
Right.
Well, because it's, you know, Robert's Rules of Order, it's motion, second, discussion,
right,
and then a vote. It is not motion, second, and Christy Burton Brown gets to say whatever she wants. She gets to lie wherever he wants and refuses to let anybody else talk. There were a lot of first-time people there at the assembly, but I'm not a first-time person. And I've been there when it was paper ballots, and we got out at 4:30. Because while you're, you know, there are lots of ways of doing it in which you don't have to extend it forever. Now, if you want to, like Christy Burton, but more people, oh, I don't want to be here till midnight because she's lying to you. She's just plain lying.
It's a dishonest emotional plea because the largest county is El Paso, right? So the maximum you would count paper ballots by county. The maximum number of paper ballots that you would have had to count was 800.
Oh, that's right. It's not like you. That's a really
800. You can't. It's going to take you till midnight.
They don't
as a
have
county
to, yeah,
to
it's
count
not like
800 ballots.
It's not like they all go. Like you said, it's a giant fishbowl, yeah. And I hand it to Chuck, and Chuck writes down one, you know, and then have another one. Well, it was.
Well, you also can count earlier races once they're finished while the other people are talking. If you want to do it that way,
right.
There are a thousand different ways.
Well, and Neil did a great job at CDA.
Yeah, CDA. We had 400 or 500 people there, or 300 to 500, and we did all paper ballots up on a stage in a fishbowl. So Christy just lied, and she got away with it, as she often does.
They had to have the clickers, right? And so they pushed for the clickers. And then, Julie, to your point, in the hearing on SB 22-153, in their closing remarks to justify, you know, the additional power grab away from the counties into the hands of the Secretary of State, who's proven so trustworthy,
right?
Yes, now, the county checks and balances are gone with this bill.
Right.
Their way of justifying it was they mentioned two people. They mentioned Christy Burton Brown just used electronic voting devices at the GOP convention. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned, but if this was a bad bill, Matt Crane wouldn't.
Well, Matt Crane.
He wouldn't endorse it. Now, they're all reading.
Explain to people who Matt Crane is and what are the issues with Matt Crane.
So Matt Crane So there's this weird thing that happens in Colorado politics, and we're finding it in Colorado elections specifically. We're finding it all over the country where there's this kind of revolving door of public and private. Right. And so people go out and work for the vendors for a bit, then they come back into public office. And it's so Matt Crane used to be a clerk of Arapahoe County. He then went to work for a couple of private companies, and he is the poster boy for Global Mobile, which is a mobile voting company. Now, I'm not being hyperbolic. He's actually on the poster for Global Mobile.
And that would be voting with your cell phone, right?
Where
they want you just to go. So forget, I mean, yeah. No one is going with clickers anymore, right? Just vote with your cell phone. Okay.
Yeah. So in addition to that investment in a mobile voting technology, he is the head executive director of the County Clerk and Colorado County Clerks Association. So the Colorado County Clerks Association is a non-government organization that is funded through dues that our clerks pay with our tax dollars and some other donation type activities. And they really come around the clerks and make them feel warm and fuzzy about Colorado Gold Standard
group,
of Elections.
Basically, it's a lobbying group for the vendors.
It's a left wing and always has been a left wing lobbying group. Danita Davidson, who was the Secretary of State back in 2002, was the one who introduced no fault absentee ballots. You didn't have to have a reason, was the first step into mail-in ballots. And the association's always taken the left side.
Because there's more money in it.
Yeah, well, we were up in Larimer County, and they were talking about for the Greeley Republican women's, and they were talking about how their clerk said, it's absolutely safe. It's perfect. It's great. And the minister said, I watched them pour hundreds of ballots. Said, well, you know, that's...
Except for that part.
Yeah, well, yeah. So what's safe, or if you want to call it safe, is by the time the ballots are finally get in the box, but how they get in the box, how many old age homes they go, they have not the slightest idea. But the clerks have been convinced by, you know, KBB, by Matt Crane, everybody else, that this system, which is one of the great mass delusions that Colorado has, is just perfect system. And you have so many people, Matt Crane, KBB.
Well, his wife works for Dominion,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, she did for 18 years.
She did. She's Smartmatic and then Dominion. And the other thing is, you know, you said, oh, they're basically a lobbying group. They're actually a lobbying group. The Colorado County Clerk Association hired 5280 Strategies to lobby on SB 22153 for the bill.
No, and so just, I mean, this is my layperson's interpretation of the bill. Essentially, what it does is say that Jenna Griswold can decertify or certify. She has the ultimate say. So say, if I write, say, so say, among other things it does. So say I have a question about the way the election results came out, and we have outright fraud, and I'm the clerk, and I'm like, I'm not going to certify this. Jenna Griswold can come in and certify it. And likewise, she can come in and decertify it. So say Trump wins in a certain county, she can go in and say, oh, I decertify that.
Well,
I
mean, it also took all the counties' ability not to have automatic voting machines.
Everything is
except unless they have two people living there. And the county clerks are pushing for it. Really? And the county think they go, no, we want to have our own ability to run elect. No, you don't. You want to have Jenna Griswold do it. So it's sickening, and the establishment Republicans are a sickening group. And that's all you see on George Bacher's show. We had Matt Crane on. He had
all
these.
I don't want to attack him necessarily.
Well, sure, we want to attack him. He's attacking us.
Oh,
I mean,
are we talking about attacking George Brockler? I'll attack that guy all day long, verbally and rhetorically, right?
Well, you know, on a personal basis.
When I listened to that show, I apologize, Chuck, but I have to get this out. When I listened to the show, the radio show where Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron came on, it took me a little bit to get my footing again. I couldn't believe that people like that still existed. I find it fascinating that level of just complete detachment from decorum and kindness and critical thought. It was a propaganda show, but it was also very, you know, I'm struggling with the words, but the idea of, you know, we're the elites. It's Mika and Joe Brzezinski. I don't know if you guys saw.
Right. We saw that. Yeah.
Right. Where they felt comfortable calling themselves the elites. Right. That's the kind of sense that I was when I was listening to Brockler, and I'm like, who is this guy, and how are people actually listening to this and are okay with it? And I mean, you see, you can see it, right, with the establishment that can see 61% of their delegates say, you know what, we want to go a different way. We don't like the way you're taking them. And then immediately they start to belittle and mock them and dismiss them.
Well, after
it's
telling
incredible
us,
to me.
After telling us, all they do is ram down our thoughts. I mean, we had Walker Stapleton, right? We had, you know, Bob Beaupre. We can just go down the whole list of horribles that they put up there. And they tell us, shut up. Don't be a circular firing squad. We've got to unify. Right, and then the instant they don't get what they want, they're saying, don't support them financially. You know, the Republican Party is doomed. And I mean, my point is, you know, to those who say the Republican Party is doomed if the grassroots candidates make it onto the ballot, what have you won anyway? It's like doomed. Right. How? I mean, it's been Bill Owen since you won anything. So,
well, you have the head of the leader of the minority party in the House, Hugh McCain, gets crushed assembly. I mean, he gets 35% of the vote or something. Senator Lundeen, evil Senator Lundeen, who is going to be the majority, is going to be president of the Senate if the Republicans win. He lost his primary.
And he lost his primary to a firecracker of a candidate. She is going to wipe the floor with him in the primary. This Linda Zamora Wilson, she for Senator Lundeen's seat, she was in the race for 5 days at the moment of that assembly. She took 55%. She has four advanced degrees, Air Force instructor, retired. Oh, she's amazing. And
wow.
She's ready to fight.
Well, and this is from Charlene here. So in effect, KBB interfered with two elections. Tina Peters, unsuccessful interference in paper ballots, successful interference. Yeah, I mean, and again, and like Ash put it
I do want to say, no, let me say something. I do want to say, you know, George Baca has been a friend for 15, 20 years, maybe. There, and there's no nicer, more self-effacing person. But he used to be a rebel, and now he is totally within the billionaire.
Well, that's where the money is.
Well, and Patricia Rahm was a real grassroots and a real friend. And now they, you know, they just surround you, they beat you up, they smack you in the face, and they drag you across the pavement and make you confess on the George Proctor show. I mean, it's disgusting.
You know, I was on the show with Joe Altman the other night, and I brought up George Proctor, and he said the same thing. He's a nice guy. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. I'm like, you know what, Chuck? I don't know him. he's not my buddy, but he seems real comfortable defaming and slandering strong candidates, right?
Yeah.
And I think nobody gets a pass. I've been through the we're gonna fix it in the party thing before, right?
Well,
I'm not doing it again. And I'm gonna keep speaking the truth.
And here's a thing that I think is so encouraging though, because we only have a few minutes left with you, and that is we're winning, right? That's why they're freaking out, because we're winning. No, in spite of everything, in spite of all of them trying to say you deny her this, you deny her that. People voted for Tina Peters, people voted for Ron Hanks, right? They even voted for that Thorne guy who no one had ever been heard of before, right? And it's like, so people, I think, are clearly saying to the establishment, we see through you now. We've taken the red pills. We're not going back. And I would say, if they want to leave the Republican Party, go ahead. Form your own little party. You be unaffiliated. Rest of us, this is what I'm saying. Because when they say that's not the Republican Party, I'm like, no, we are the Republican Party. And I think you're right, Ash. I think it is going to be a great day for grassroots candidates in June with the primary, because this was just a small segment of the, you know, I mean, which is why they went, of course, open primaries, which is a whole other topic.
Well, there you go. You finally got it. This won't be a Republican nominees. They'll be overwhelmed by Catherine Murdoch and all the lefties pouring money in and votes. And if it was just Republicans, these candidates would win overwhelmingly. But as long as they can crook it, as long as KBB and all the rest of them can get left-wing people to run against Lauren Boebert and all that, who knows who will win? But if it was Republicans, there's no question these big candidates would win. And so, you know, I fought for 2 years to get open primaries, finally got into court, and who do we get? Judge Kane, who said, "Oh no, you're Republican.
No, whatever your motion is, I'm denying.
Yeah, denied. Yeah. It's just so sad that the left and the one billionaire have taken the state down.
Ours.
You know, people always say, you know, Colorado is no longer the place that it once was. Well, guess why? Democrats destroy everything, and one Democrat's helped them. One billionaire's helped them.
Yeah, I think that the establishment on both sides in the state of Colorado is very comfortable with the way that things are. The Republican establishment likes being the minority party. They like to be able to fundraise and have their, you know, dinners and hang out. And, you know, we're all buddies and friends. And when it comes time for them to stand up and do something on behalf of the people, they can always say, sorry, Democrats. Right. And so I think that time is changing. The other thing is people always tell you who they are. At the beginning of the assembly, we were told over and over again by speaker after speaker that we have to unify, and we can't call people a radical, and we can't call people a rhino, and we can't do this, and we can't do that. We all have to unify. When they lost, they weren't unified at all.
No.
Right? I mean, George Brockler, Christy Burton Brown,
Dick Bottoms,
Priscilla Rahm. That was the least unifying thing. And they were really directing those barbs and those arrows at 61% of delegates. So I think the unity message is intellectually dishonest and disingenuous. And the party, the grassroots portion of the right? It's not Republican grassroots, right? The Republican Party wants to own and command the grassroots. And I think what they learned at the assembly is that they don't.
Right.
But they're foot on the gas. for the grassroots.
Well, if the establishment wins the primaries, it'll be back. What do you mean you're not uniting? What do you mean? Dick Waddles will be screaming. You've got to unify.
Let me, Ashley, got to let you go. You've been wonderful. Besides, can have you in the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. Where can people read and find all of your work, and how can they follow you?
So my work is at ashinamerica.com, ash with an E in America.com. And I'm on Telegram at ashinamerica. I have a handle on all the other social medias, but I'm really just on Telegram.
Perfect. Okay, great. Okay. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day.
Take care.
All right. Thank you. Oh, she's all right. She's ready. Let me read another column. This also from, I think, Charlene. I can't believe all the divisive and hurtful things Brockler and the establishment Republicans are saying about the winners out of the convention. Yeah. So more of that. We've got now. Oh, thank you, TJ, for this. We've got Mike Gonzalez with us.
On line two.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, thank you for your time. You're an author, comics. You got a new book out, BLM, The Making of a New Marxist Revolution. I was joking earlier that BLM now stands for Buy Lots of Mansions. But why don't you tell folks, I mean, BLM, it's, you know, their financing, everything is in question right now, the defund the police. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself quickly, and then also then about your new book?
Sure. So I'll be very brief about myself, because that's pretty boring. I was a journalist for close to 20 years, mostly in Latin America, Europe, and Asia. 11 of those were the Wall Street Journal. Then I worked for the Bush administration, writing speeches at the State Department. And I've been at Heritage for 13 years, writing books and papers. I did serve on President Trump's 76th commission, and that's me.
Yay!
The next one is, you want me to write to tell you why I wrote the book?
Yeah. Sure. And what you exposed in it. I mean, first, people should buy it, but I mean, give us a little bit of a rundown too.
Yeah, don't tell too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look, I mean, you mentioned the mansions. To me, the grift is not the important thing, right? I mean, we've always had grifters. People say, well, the communists, you know, how can they have mansions? Well, I like to remind people that Andropov and Gorbachev and the others had had luxury hunting lodges and dachas in the Russian countryside. And that Fidel Castro, that a billionaire, this is part of being a communist. To me, the most important thing is that a group of Marxists, of self-avowed Marxists, I would call them fanatical Marxists, have already achieved a great transformation of our society. And unless we do something about it, and I think the American people are doing something about it, you know, they're standing up and saying they don't want critical race theory and gender theory, and these are all manifestations of the same cultural Marxism. But unless we do something about it, we're going to lose the country.
Yes, wow. That's true.
I agree with you. Well, talk a little bit about
who are the founders?
Yeah, exactly.
How did they get so many bamboozle
mansions? Us all? Yeah.
So we have they bamboozled us because they have a great slogan: Black Lives Matter. Man, right. if Black Lives don't matter to you, I don't want to talk to you. You know, right. I never say all lives matter. Obviously, I believe that all lives matter. We're all children of God. But we have to affirm that Black Lives Matter. So they hide behind this great slogan. Who they are? Well, the two main ones are Patrice Cullors and Alicia Garza. I can just give you the names, and then you tell me what you want to hear about them. Well, Paul Tometi is also very important. And one that never gets attention but is very, very important is Melina Abdullah, the head of the Los Angeles branch of Black Lives Matter. And when I say Black Lives Matter, just again, it's not the concept, which is unimpeachable. It's the organization, the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation. That is the organization founded by these Marxists that has achieved what it has achieved already.
Well, then talk a little bit about the history, because I think, you know, if people aren't paying a whole lot of attention, and I'll admit I was one of them, right? I was never heard of Black Lives Matter until after some of the riots. And then so I think people may be under the impression that it sort of spontaneously arose,
erupted
in the black community and for equal rights and la, 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 la. But actually, as I understand it, they've been around a lot longer. And as you said, this Marxist stuff is at the core of all of it.
Yeah, they were trained by Marxist theoreticians for years and years before they founded Black Lives Matter in 2013. They were enmeshed in a nationwide network of Marxist organizations. Actually, not just nationwide, global. After all, the name of the group is the Global Network Foundation. So they had they were ideological for a long time before BLM came across. And this is, by the way, the reason why Americans, good Americans, have not heard about this, have put signs on their lawns, and the media will not report on it.
Right.
Everything
right.
I have just said to you is in open source, right? Everything
right.
is public, the public domain. People, you're listening right now. Oh, who the heck is this guy, Mike Gonzalez? I'm going to Google all this stuff. Please do Google all this stuff because all this stuff is out there.
Right.
The media won't report it, though. That's the problem.
Well, and how did they
become such a potent force?
Was it
have all this organizational ability, which showed up in the riots after killing of George?
Were they just kind of waiting for the right moment, or I mean, it's been, I'm a conspiracy theorist about everything anymore. And can you maybe talk about how did they go from being relatively obscure but still kind of doing their thing to all of a sudden, poof, everybody in your neighborhood has BLM signs in their front yard now?
So let me give you the three stages, and I'll tell you, I'll answer your question with the three stages. They are, the first one is the acquittal of George Zimmerman, the neighborhood watchman, who was half Hispanic, by the way,
right.
for the killing of Trayvon Martin.
The New York Times said he was a white Hispanic.
Yeah, he was a white Hispanic.
Well, but, I mean, what Hispanics do exist, right? I mean, Hispanics is not a race.
Oh, yeah, you're Hispanic, you're not, you know, I mean, why is he somehow an honorary white?
No, the New York Times did it on purpose. What I'm saying is Hispanics is just an ethnicity. People of African ancestry, European ancestry, Chinese ancestry,
sure.
They're all Hispanic, right? But it was at this acquittal that Alicia Garza writes, This Facebook posting says Black Lives Matter. Patrice Cullors, her colleague, her Marxist colleague, says, "Hey, we should really, you know, make this into a thing, into a global thing." And Paul Tometi, who's good at social media, puts a hashtag on it, right? But then it's really the next year, 2014, when Michael Ferguson gets killed by a cop. Michael Brown gets killed by a cop in Ferguson, Missouri, a suburb of St. Louis. Then a bunch of socialist groups descend on Ferguson, Missouri, in November 2014, and then that they really begin to organize, have a blueprint, and then they have this series of protests and riots between 14. In 19, right? In fact, there's something called the Ferguson effect, which is police pull back. They're not as proactive. And that causes, you know, an increase in death. And the estimate is that maybe 9,000 extra people were killed because of the Ferguson effect. That's actually probably more than 50% African American, because statistics tell us that African Americans are over 50% of the homicide victims.
Right.
Then 2020, in the 9-minute tragedy of George Floyd, right? And then that is when it explodes, right? In late May 2020, and all these groups that this mayhem is organized is very clear. BLM GNF itself said in the spring of 2021 that they sent out like 4 million emails, out of which they had 2 million actions. The crisis monitor, the U.S. crisis monitor at Princeton University, a very BLM sympathetic outfit, they said, yeah, it's a minority, a small percentage of the protests turned out into riots, but, you know, a small percentage of 12,000 is 630. 630 riots. It turns into the costliest civil disturbance in U.S. history, according to the U.S. Insurance Institute, between $1 and $2 billion in damage. And of course, the murder rate just completely skyrockets that year. It goes up by 30%, which, you know, the second highest was 1968, another politically charged year. And of course, the New York Times and Washington Post say, "Oh yeah, this is because of COVID." No,
right. Yeah, because
every other country in the world had COVID. They had an increase in the homicide rate.
Where are they? I mean, two questions. Then, was their money coming from? I mean, and who's pushing this? And second, I guess,
what is the organizational structure?
And what is their end goal?
Well, the end goal, I would say, you have to quote Alicia Garza when she says that the end goal is to dismantle the organizing principle of society. This is a verbatim quote. Dismantle the organizing principle of society. That's all-encompassing. That's totalizing. That is not making Black lives better. That's changing America root and branch, right? This is what they want, to dismantle the United States. Melina Abdullah says the same thing. They all hate capitalism. They are loosely organized. BLM-GNF had, in its impact report last year, it detailed the 25 BLM, recognized BLM chapters to which it gave money, but there are other BLM chapters that are not these officially recognized, but they still work with BLM-GNF. There's also the Movement for Black Lives, which is another more loosely organized confederation of groups that they kind of collaborate with each other. The thing is, though, when you Google Black Lives Matter, it doesn't take you to a beautiful concept or to a sign on a lawn. It takes you to BLM-GNF. When people give money, when good Americans who have not heard any of this stuff I've been telling you, have had their feelings manipulated, or who just want a virtue signal, when they give money and they type BLM-GNF, it takes them to this outfit, which is the outfit that bought the mansions and so forth. They're incredibly powerful. They have a curriculum, which they distribute to the country's 14,000 school districts, or 10,000, depends on how you count, right? They have bills in Congress. They endorse candidates, oppose candidates, and they have incredible clout, and they're changing America. I have to say this again and again, because that is the main reason why I talk about this.
Right. What are some
They get millions, tens of millions from huge corporations. How did that work out?
Yeah, really.
They said they got in the summer, in the second half of 2020, they said they got $90 million. That's a lot of money. That raised in 6 months, right? Or 7 months. The thing is that we don't know, because we don't know where it's gone, because they haven't told the IRS. They haven't produced a form 990. And Patrice Cullors said 2 weeks ago that the form 990 were racist. That the government weaponizes the form 990.
Well, and as I understand it, they don't even know who to ask anymore, right? Because they're kind of playing the sort of the P game, you know, where it's like, who's in charge? Oh, he's in charge. No, I'm not in charge. And then I guess you're right. Then the bottom line is it's racist anyway, so we're not going to actually tell you.
There's no CEO. There's no chairman.
Right. What are they? Who else do they work with? I mean, are they in cahoots with
Hillary
the,
Clinton?
With Hillary Clinton? Yeah, really. No, but with Antifa organization. Are they?
No. That's not a joke. They just hired Mike Elias.
Great.
The Clinton organization does control it partially.
And the mansion they bought in Southern California, they were incredibly duplicitous, right? They knew, oh my God, no, this cannot get out. So they bought this mansion in Southern California and created this LLC that belonged to Mark Elias's, the law firm where Mark Elias's worked.
You're
joking about Clinton. No,
you can't make lawfare. You can't make this up. Well, what is then? That's to say that they win, right? I mean, what do they want to do with the country after they destroy the existing? I mean, just everyone in Black Lives Matter gets more mansions. I mean, do they have it, or are they just sort of a forced to be corrupt and a force to
anarchist
kind of thing, or do they actually have a plan for the future?
So I have an unanswered and real answer. And by the way, you're great questioners. You ask all the right questions. The problem with communists is they're never very clear. Look, pick up the manifesto. It's a fun read. No, it's not. It's an awful read. But read the manifesto. Marx and Engels are never clear about what their plan is. You know, but what you do get, you invariably get, is central planning. You get coercion. You get gulags. You get repression. Your freedom of speech is stamped out. You get even though they never say, here's a blueprint, this is how we're going to take society. We're going to take your stuff away. The government. Then we're going to no. You always get the same thing with communism. It's got a perfect record of failure. It always answers. It never produces bread. It produces only bread lines, and it produces the gulag, and it produces it stamps out for humor and fun and joy.
Right. Well, that sounds like a fun. Yeah. But actually, what kind of Biden's taking us there a long way. Why then, and how do they then tie in? We've talked about Hillary Clinton. How do they tie in, like with the Obamas and the current Democrat Party and whoever happens to be in charge of the White House this week?
We don't have a CEO there either.
Oh yeah.
Listen, lately I've been looking at when Biden got elected. And he wrote his executive order. The first executive order was on equity, right? And he was going to say, well, he's ordered an equity, an audit of all the departments and agencies of the federal government to see how they were doing it. Equity, by the way, I should explain, sounds like equality. And it used to mean roughly the same thing as equality under Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. It means the opposite of equality, right? The government has to treat people unequally according to their race or ethnicity.
Right.
But forever, forever, right.
Right, forever. But last year they issued the plan on how they're going to do this, and the plan is incredibly pervasive. So I think the tie with the Biden administration is that Biden has come in and he senses that all the energy and the dynamics in his party are on the left, right? And that he must acquiesce to all of this. So the poor man doesn't even mention the word equity anymore. You know, sometimes he reads a teleprompter, he sees equity, and he pronounces it equality, and then he goes back on himself and says, not equality, equity. So everything, you know, they try to do color conscious policies, which are illegal, constitutional, and immoral. The courts have told them they can't do it, and they're going to try another way. But it's definitely impacted the Biden-Harris administration very deeply.
Okay. What about Obama?
Let me ask you, because we don't have a lot of time left. Where do you think it's going? Has BLM been impacted by the Manchin disclosures and the other ones, or is it still going very strong?
Well, look, I think that they're a very consequential force in our lives. I think they're changing America, and if you've been listening for the last 20 minutes, not for the better. The problem is people who read about this saying, this is not good. However, the New York Times is not reported on this. The networks are not reported on this. You can bet your bottom dollar, MSNBC has not said anything about this. CNN has not said anything about this. The New York Magazine has, to its credit, reported on it. It's the only mainstream leftist organization. And they came under withering criticism from Patrice Cullors for the guy was just doing his job. Sean Campbell, who should be commended. An African-American journalist who decided, I am a journalist first. This is reality. I must report on this. It has not been matched. The Washington Post ran a column by Karen Attia, the editor of the Global Opinions page, and that's all there is. So, look, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody hears it, does it make a noise? If Americans don't hear about this, will that have an impact?
Man,
we don't know. We don't know. Well, let you know, but unfortunately, we've run out of time with you, Mike. You have been wonderful.
Yeah.
Where can people find the book, BLM, The Making of a New Marxist Revolution? Where can they find that and find out other stuff that you've been writing, too? Because you're all over the place.
Amazon, it's my eighth interview today. Amazon is a good place to get it. They tried to cancel my ad, and then I complained about it. They said, well, you know, you wrote a book on a debated issue. I said, of course I wrote a book on a debated issue. What's democracy? We debate. And they apologized. And they let the ads go. So Amazon is a good place to get BLM, The Making of a New Marxist Revolution, but Barnes & Noble, too, anywhere.
All right, Michael, so much.
Appreciate you.
We'll have you back.
Yeah, thank you for doing the research. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. You guys have been great. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
That's right. Mike Gonzalez. That's good if it's his eighth interview today. You know,
yeah,
I mean, he's kind of, that's
yeah,
Mike
absolutely.
Gonzalez, BLM, The Making of a New Marxist Revolution. I know our friend and colleague Karen Catalan always talks about, you know, you need to understand that this is a whole Marxist thing. And you got to wonder, Chuck, I mean, it's just like, okay, we just want to destroy. basically, and get rich in the process. And I think, you know that there are tentacles all over the place, right?
Well, you wonder what Marxist theory is today. I mean, at one time, you'd follow Das Kapital, and you'd have the dictatorship of the proletariat, and you had this whole thing that no one ever believes that, you know? It just... Marxism is just, maybe I get control. I mean,
right.
I guess
exactly. Have centralized control that I'm in charge of.
Yeah, and I get to own everybody.
This is from Charlene. This guy knows similar chaos and unrest events in Russia prior to the Bolshevik resolution. And this from Leo. My understanding is the BLM mansion in California is zoned residential, but they're saying they're going to use it for work things, etc.
Things. They've moved in.
And they've got a safe house.
Party house.
The party house. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for us. We got a great show on Friday.
We sure do.
Dave Williams, he made the gateway pundit there. What a brilliant
idea. Dave,
let's go Brandon.
Let's go Brandon Williams. And he's kicking over in the 4th Congressional District. And hopefully he can quash Doug Lamborn, who is disappeared.
Is he the 5th? I think he's a 5th.
I thought it was a 4th, but I don't know.
We don't know. And he's running. Just vote for Dave if he's on your ballot.
If he has... Let's go, Brandon. Vote for him.
Well, because he's suing the Secretary of State to let him put that on the ballot.
Right.
And then also he and Stephanie Lott, God bless these guys, at the state capitol have introduced a bill. You know how we have to apologize for everything that we had nothing to do with, right? They would have introduced a bill to have Colorado and Governor Polis
personally apologize
for destroying Colorado.
43% of the small businesses.
Right, for destroying Colorado businesses and lives during the lockdown.
We're sorry.
So we want to talk
about that. Invites Disney, who is we want to come to. If you saw his thing, he said, "We in Colorado do not go after companies like Disney. No, you just go after the oil and gas." Oil and gas, you destroyed that.
Anyone who can contribute a lot of money to my campaign, we do not go after them.
Companies like Disney, but oil and gas and other people,
we will destroy you. That's right. Anyway, that's coming up on Friday. Thank you to Ash in America. Thank you to Mike Gonzalez.
Yeah, both of them were just great. And let me just say thank the guys.
The great guys at BBS, all of you guys on Zoom. Remember, you can always catch the podcast.
Kids Across America.
That's right. You can catch the show at chuckandjulie.com. Okay, now wrap it up.
No, go ahead.
Okay, we'll see you all on Party Friday. Everyone have a great couple of days.